G'day trendsetters. This is economic, but let's talk about wind power generation in Australia. How did this happen? Someone called me texted me and said, you want to go and have a look at this meeting at the primary school in Ravensow about the new wind farm there. So I thought I'd start doing a bit of research, because there's no doubt that there's a lot of signs around the town and that saying, stop Champalum or whatever it's called, wind farm. I'll have to get that pronunciation right. But you can see the windmills are already there. They're built. It's happening anyway. Now these people at these concerned community, I would suspect, by what I've read and seen, they're going to say, you're killing the animals. You're stuffing up, natural habitat for endangered species and all that. That's the normal run the line for the environmentalists. Like you can't damage this this piece of wilderness here. And so it's not much point me turning up to one of these meetings, because I'll be against them and the corporation and the government. I'll be against them too, because they all just got in their cars and drove from a house that where there was timber and bush cleared so that they could habitate there rather than an animal. So they're instantly a bunch of hypocrites as far as I'm concerned. And yes, there is extinction of species, but if you want to see extinction of species, bring in a meteorite or an ice age. That usually fixes it up, and guess what, it bounces back. So man's mucking around with nature, man destroying animals' habitat and all that. Yes, we naturally the world loses populations. If something can't be saved, like stop flogging the dead horse. It's like the zombie companies on the stock market that are only, or in the world that are, and the governments that are only propped up by debt, debt that they owe to themselves and all this rubbish. Sorry about that, but we're going to kill some animals sometimes, and we're going to destroy their habitat occasionally. We're trying to keep it to a minimum, but you're going to have to break a few eggs if you want to turn the lights on and watch YouTube of a night time. So I'm going to be against that premise that we shouldn't be destroying the environment. Now, on the other hand, what I would like to say is, if that was a liquid fluoride molten salt nuclear reactor or a dual fluid reactor, it would be a far, far, far smaller footprint of environmental damage. And you don't have to put it right there where the wind blows a lot. You can just whack it in the corner of the yard somewhere. Doesn't matter. It's inherently incredibly safe. Very, very, very energy efficient, 97% efficient. Shit's all over. Coal, gas, wind, solar, and hydro. Shit's all over it. For baseload power generation, for cleanliness, for efficiency. Just you want real volts coming through that power line? Use one of them. So what's the point of me going to a meeting with a bunch of left-wing idiots that are trying to save the environment while they're pouring petrol in their car? They won't use petrol to light their bonfire, but they'll burn it all week, every week, going to work and back, if they still work. Probably all on the pension, which is another subject. But so anyway, I looked it up, and each wind turbine in Australia, once it's built, there's subsidies to help them build them. The approval process, if you want to put up a wind farm, no problem. We'll green light that all the way through. You can get the permits in a hurry, no trouble. Different if you wanted to build a coal-fired power station with or a gas and or a nuclear and get some real power going. Oh no, we don't want any of that. So it's green lighted pretty quickly, built easily, quickly, because it's all touchy-feely climate change. I see they've got it's not just the Department of Environment now, it's the Department of Climate Change, Energy, blah, blah, blah. I mean, these guys are really smoking crack, aren't they? So once the thing's up, each one of those windmills that they had to dig a lot of holes in the ground to get all the, you know, the cement and the steel and the copper and the silver and the gold and everything that goes into these things, the aluminium. Once they're up, they get the company gets subsidized $500,000 per turbine per year by this taxpayer to make it to make it look like it's viable. Now why should that, you know, that's just such a crime to steal 30% of someone's wage, run it through a bureaucracy, borrow in the name of it, and create extra currency to give away to a corporation that put up a wind turbine that produces bugger all energy. Now they're saying when this thing is built, it'll put out 600 odd megawatts, which a small modular reactor will do any day of the week, or a couple of them hooked together, no trouble. You don't see the new nuclear reactors, they don't have to build them, you know, pour tons of concrete and 10 years worth of permitting and billions of dollars worth of research and all this rubbish. The small modular reactor can be made in a factory and just transported to the site, and you can just hook one to another. I only need 300 megawatts, no worries, you can just have one. I need 600 megawatts, you can have two. Very, very minimal environmental damage, much less materials used in the process of building this thing, these things. You know, but that's not going to be on the mind of these people that go to this meeting that are against this. They're just not in my backyard. We don't want it in our backyard. I agree with them. The environmental damage is massive compared to what could be. You know, you don't even need to have one there. They're there because the wind blows there. You know, it's archaic. But to be subsidized $500,000 a year per turbine, that's daylight robbery. I'm sure, like I said, there probably won't be a lot of taxpayers there, so they won't understand the economics of it. But that's how I look at it. That's from my perspective. You know, bugger the fucking rare bird that's living in the rare tree. That's all good. Save them if you like. And they should be saved, because there shouldn't even be any turbines there. It should be a reactor somewhere else. Now, I also read that once you get these things there, then you've got to transport the power to the grid. Now, at the moment, there is coal-fired power stations all over this country and this state that are right there going to be, can be hooked into the grid. So if you want to stop burning coal, if you think that climate change is real, if you really smoke and crack, you can just put a modular reactor right there where the coal-fired power station used to be and plug it straight into the existing grid. But now we've got these touchy-feely bullshit hunks of concrete and aluminium sticking up in the air right in a wilderness that shouldn't be there. We've somehow got to transport that energy to where it's needed. So there's a whole subsidy for that as well, to build the infrastructure. It's just reinventing the wheel right next to the wheel that was already invented. It's another government program that will go to shit, just like the solar panels. So let them build them, let them destroy the environment, because eventually, shortly, the government's going to go broke and it won't be able to subsidise the company. And the company won't be able to make a profit, and it will not continue to operate the turbines. And in the meantime, that's what we're going to get, isn't it? That's what we're going to get this coming summer. We're going to get, oh, you've got to turn your air cons off. We haven't got enough power in the most energy prolific country in the world. Doesn't matter how you want to produce electricity, you can do it here. You've got all the gas and all the oil and all the coal and all the bloody uranium and all the thorium that you need to produce thousands and thousands and thousands of years worth of energy for a relatively small population of 26 million people. We're energy abundant. But this is an example. It's a bit like maybe Milton Friedman said, if you put the government in charge of the Sahara Desert, within a couple of years, there's no sand left in the bloody thing, you know. So just like those initial rebates, those 44 cents a kilowatt rebates for all those solar panels just to feed into the grid, once again, it makes you reliant on others. And now everyone's whinging, I'm only getting 8 cents a kilowatt. They've cut the subsidy. Because it's unaffordable. It's a start a government program, make it look like something really happened, and then when the money runs out, close us down again. A bit like BioCycle. Remember that? Everyone in a rural area, you've got to be 100 meters from the creek for a septic, or with a BioCycle, you can be closer, you can be 50 meters. I'm not quite sure what the rules are anymore. They change them all the time, but everyone's got to have a BioCycle when they do that. You know, now it's just, forget it, go back to septic. Septic's always worked. It hasn't needed any fancy little motor going around and electricity to pump this and do that. You don't need a water treatment plant on your property. You can have if you want, that's fine. But it was a government mandated thing. So, you know, upspring these little companies, wastewater consultants and Enviro bloody this and worm bloody farm, wormalytics bloody whatever. We can eat your poo with worms and all that shit. And now people are just putting in normal septics because all that's gone broke because the subsidies have run out. So it's just another government program that when it fails, they just abandon it. And these wind turbines are going to be stuck there after killing the little finches and the little critters and whatever the environmental people are talking about. In less time than you think, they're going to be just hunks of shit on the landscape. And they're pretty hard to knock over, you know. You got to have a big D9 to push one of those bastards over if you wanted to. So they're just going to sit there and look at us and not be any good to anybody, because once the capital disappears and once everything craters, there's no money for the cleanup. You just abandon ship. Sorry about that, folks. Maybe the birds can put nests in the top of the turbines or something later on. Because for all these people that are worried about the environment, I mean, this area is high rainfall, very nice soil, you know, red volcanic soil, everything. You throw a nail on the ground, 3 weeks later it's a crowbar. That's how things grow here, you know. So if all these environmentalists moved out of their houses and went and dug a hole in the side of a hill and lived in that instead, like they should to live up to their doctrine, it wouldn't take long and the jungle would just move in. All the glycine would go over the top of the house, and within no time, you wouldn't even see the houses. You wouldn't see the streets. There'd be a mat of vegetation over them. No trouble. You know, drier areas like WA, or sandy, you know, drier areas with shit soil and lots of sunshine. Yep, that'll take a little bit longer before the sand finally buries them and blows over them. But eventually, you know, there'll be salt bush and spin effects blowing around, and everything will get covered in dirt and become earth again. So it's only the fact that we keep scurrying around and cleaning buildings and keeping things neat and tidy that it doesn't all disappear back into the wilderness. So I wouldn't worry about the environment. Will take care of itself. And fair enough, I don't like pollution. I don't want to breathe dirty air. You know, so the technology's there now, guys. That you could look. What happened with the spacecraft on the moon? What happened there? They had solar panels on it, and they got covered in dust, and it stopped working. Shut the power down. $1 billion worth of machinery gone. Won't work. So what do you do? What did they do? We can't tell anyone. They put a little plutonium reactor inside the thing that'll just produce power for ever and a day. Years and years. The thing's still scurrying around doing its thing. You know? That's a clear example. You know, it's good for NASA. NASA can do it, long as they don't talk about it. We've got a nuclear reactor in our little beings, in our little vehicles that drive around and take rock samples and shit, because that's the most efficient. You know, you can't be transporting diesel up there. So they've got the technology now. You could have a little tiny thorium reactor inside your car. If you wanted to have an electric car, which are, you know, bad for the environment. But you could have a steam car if you wanted to. But yeah, as long as you've got that heat, you can make energy. You can turn a turbine. You can make things happen. You can produce energy. So we have the technology to have a little tiny nuclear reactor in our car, so we never have to fill up with fuel. For the rest of our lives, we have that technology now. Those submarines out there, you hear of a nuclear submarine. People are asleep in their bunks right next to that nuclear reactor all day, every day. Safe as houses. They never have to pull into a port and fill up with diesel. They don't have to put up with a stinking old engine room with diesel fumes coming out of it. Don't have to worry about any of that. Refuel every 25 years. And that's the same technology that can be applied to your personal transport. So we're missing the boat. We have been. But I think the Renaissance is here. So I would probably only be a disruptor at this meeting if I go to this meeting this afternoon over there in Ravensay. And I just did 2 days on the road. I drove all the way to Georgetown and stayed overnight, called some auctions and drove back. So I'm not sure if I want to get in the car and drive to Ravensay and back today, in this afternoon. But yeah, I'd probably upset them all anyway. Maybe I should just go and speak my mind, I don't know. But what's the point? You know, I'd rather preach to the choir than preach to people that are not really going to see it my way anyway. I might change the odd mind. I might make a point and just turn somebody. And that's what I try to do with this podcast and the YouTube channels and everyone I speak to. It's like, hey, you know, can we see it from a different point of view? Because as you can see, they're all those that are purportedly above you are all lying. They have their best interest at heart. So it's time that you did. And thank God for the internet, for all the information that we've been taught, for everything that we've found out. It's like the printing press was invented and everyone started reading for themselves and worked out that whoever was above them was lying to them to keep control of them. Well, we've just done that with the internet over the last 20, 30 years, whatever, however long it's been going, since the 90s. Everyone's woken up. Well, a lot of people have. So thank God for that. Because now we can have coolless, bloodless revolutions where we just, you know, shift to a different way of living without being interfered with. Anyway, that's my thoughts on the wind farm. I'll talk to you next time, guys. Thanks for listening.